The title today is going to be, What is in your closet? Or what is under your bed? You remember the illustration. If you want to, turn over to Matthew 12, 31. Remember the illustration that we talked about earlier that applies to everybody in the world about how we're scared of what's under the bed? At one time or another, you know, in our life, we've been scared of what's under the bed. Or like with me, I remember, I wasn't just scared of what was under the bed. I remember looking over at the closet. The closet was dark. And I was scared of what's in the closet. And until I got up, because it used to scare me, and I'd pull the sheets up over my head, the blankets, whatever. And because I thought if I couldn't see it, it couldn't get me, you know. I still remember that, you know. I was probably in about second or third grade. I still remember, you know. So it's kind of funny when the grandkids go, you can't see me, Papa, you can't see me, you know. Everyone is afraid of the dark. Everyone's afraid of the dark. If you think you're not afraid of the dark, we could put you in a room with no lights, no windows, and it wouldn't be long before you'd be wanting out of there. Okay? Because everybody's afraid of the dark. And naturally, we don't want to face what we're afraid of, but we run from it. Okay? Now, if God is light, what do you think dark is? Satan? What else do you think dark is? Fear? Opposite of what? Opposite of light. Okay? What else? What else is dark? Somebody said something? Sin. Good. So everyone's afraid of the dark. We have to choose to face our fears, the dark, to get victory or to get over it. We have to choose to face our fears. Here I am, a little kid, and I'm scared of the dark, laying in my bedroom at night, and I pull the covers over my head, and I'm still scared. I just thought if I was still enough and hid enough, it couldn't get me, whatever it was, okay? But the fear didn't go away. So after doing that a number of nights, probably a whole bunch, okay, one night I said, I am, because nothing ever got me. But I kept thinking something was going to get me every night. You know? It was okay when my mom kissed me. You know? Tells you to go to bed. Turns the light off. She left the door open. That was fine. Thank you, Jesus. But all of a sudden, I look over there in the closet. I think there'd be something. Well, what are you, what's in your closet? What is it you're afraid of? What's under your bed? Do you like living in fear? I'm sorry, just can I see the hand? You like living in fear? See, I don't understand when people watch scary movies. I don't understand that. I don't like being scared, ever. I don't like it when my grandkids come up behind me and grab me or whatever, you know. I mean, they scare you, you know, and they're just a little guy. They're just trying to be playful. But I don't like being scared at all. Okay? I don't enjoy it. That's why I don't like roller coasters and stuff. They scare me to death. I do not like them. You want to ever hear me scream like a little girl? Get me on one of those, whatever those things are called. The wheel. You know what I mean? Yeah. Sue got me on one time, like over here at Rogers Plaza, I think it was, or wherever it was. And I thought, that doesn't look so big when I'm standing on the ground with my feet solid, you know, and I look up at, that doesn't look so big. And she's like, come on. Okay. So we get up on that thing and they kind of do, and then they get somebody else on the do, and then they get somebody else on the do. And the more they do, I didn't like it. Okay. I just did not like it. When they got up to the top or near the top, I'm like, okay, that's it. I've had all the fun I want. Now let me off this thing. So I'm telling Sue, okay, I'm serious. Like, I got to get off this thing. Like, I can't handle this, okay? Like, get off this thing. Every time I came around, I'm yelling at the guy, stop this thing. I mean it. I'm going to hurt you if you don't, you know? And then he's going up and I'm screaming. And if we gathered a crowd, as Sue said, they're all looking at you. I couldn't help it. I was screaming like a little girl. I don't want to ever be on one of those things again, you know. What are you afraid of? What is in your closet? If we do not face our fears, what's going to happen is, if we don't face them, we're going to become paralyzed. We're going to become kept, we're going to be kept bound and immobilized if we don't face what bothers us. Tana, a minute ago, when I asked what is dark, see, God is light. Do you understand that in life, there are two paths? There's really only two paths. There's the path toward God, and it's a path of light. Something's happening here today, okay? There's a path toward God, and it's light, okay? And it is life. It's not just light, but it's life. There's joy, there's peace, there's acceptance, there's people believing in you, there's people helping you on that path. You know what's on that other path? Darkness. You know what's on that away from God? You know what's on that other path? When people are not living a life going toward God. See, there's a lot of people that are not saved, but they have a God consciousness. Are you listening to what I'm saying? They have a path like they're on their way toward God. Or they make decisions because of a God influence in their life. Maybe they've got a good mom, okay, that has loved them, believed in them. The mom loves God. Maybe the child hasn't even chosen God yet. But they've had an input of God into their life. They have a mom that loves them, a dad that loves them. But then when they go to school or they go somewhere else and the people hurt them, they go, and they just, at first they, dude, that's it. And at first, they just think it's just a bad kid. But after a while, you find out that a lot of people hurt you. Okay? Jesus, this is your time. I mean, I'm just putting it in your hands. If you don't do it, I can't even handle this. So, it's all about you. Thank you, Jesus. So we have two paths. The path of light, the path toward God, the path of life, the path of acceptance, the path where you find people helping you, caring for you, helping bear your burden. And then you have that other path where people put burdens on you and people hurt you and they take from you. And you find it's a dark path and it's painful. And it's like you, see, we get to choose. We get to choose. I told you one time, probably 100 times, that God told me, He spent 10 months teaching me two words, choose and cooperate. The word choose, God said those two words, choosing and cooperating, those two words, what are you trying to do, be a blessing? Thank you. All right. If you find any other ones doing that, just take them with you too, okay? Just go attached to Him, okay? Thank you, hot dog. Okay. Where was I? It was the last thing I said. Yeah. Oh, choose and cooperate. We get to choose. Those two words God said are key to the Christian life. Those two words. I dare you to meditate on them. Choose and cooperate. Choose and cooperate. Every minute of every day we have choices. And that choice is either toward God or away from God. Do we need to go over that or you got that? That's like easy, right? And then there's cooperating. Because you know down inside what you should do. But now you have a choice. Are you going to cooperate? Right? I'm just telling you, those two words, meditate on them. Love to talk about that. That's not what we're supposed to talk about. We have to choose. We must choose to face our fears to get the victory. What is your fear? What is in your closet that you're afraid to look at? Closets are where we store things. You have stuff from your past that you're not willing to look at it. You don't want to think about it. So you think you put it in a little room and you shut the door and you think, I can't see it. Out of sight, out of mind. But down in here, back in your conscience, you know it's there. Do you know how to get rid of it? Face it. Open the door. See, God's bigger than the boogeyman. So you say, Jesus, Father, would you help me? And He just takes you by the hand. He says, let's go do it together. He doesn't just say, you go do it. He says, let's go do it together. And then you and Him, I don't know, but I learned this a long time ago. God plus one is a majority. God plus one is a majority. Now, you heard me tell about leading hitmen, Lord. Can you imagine I'm dealing with somebody who is a professional killer and I'm talking to them about Jesus? Now, I may be slow, but I'm not that dumb, okay? I understand what professional killer means. It means he's real good at killing people. I got it, okay? God broke that down for me, so I got it, okay? And God put him in my life and said, I want you to love him to Jesus. And I'm like, Lord, excuse me? There's 200 men in this shop, and 198 of them won't have nothing to do with this guy. They're scared to death of them, and they're all big guys. And he's like, God plus one's a majority. He's like, I want him to come to me. And he says, everybody else is looking in the natural, and they're afraid of him. He said, you think I can't stop him? He said, I got up from the dead. Do you think I could stop somebody from doing stuff? Do you think... is there anything too hard for me? So he fills me with his love, fills me with this, you gotta go. And then I start talking to this dude because nobody would have anything to do with him because they were all scared of him. I mean, scared to death of him. Scared to death. Not even playing. And nobody would have nothing to do with me. They were scared the life of me. Okay. Some of them came to life, but not that many of them, but some of them. So he and I hung out. And God's given me the boldness of a junkyard dog. I fear God, so I don't fear man. So when we hang out, somebody hangs out with me, what do we talk about, Spencer? Sorry? What do we talk about? Uh-huh. When we hang out together, Rick, what do we talk about? Glenn, okay? You came to me unsaved, mad at everybody, mad at God, thought you knew everything and were running the world, okay? And when you hung around me, what did we talk about? Mr. Control, what did we talk about? God. Because that's what I talk about. Because He is my life. He's not something I do on Sunday. He's not something I do when He's convenient. He's not something I do when it works for me. Oh, it doesn't work. God doesn't work. What do you mean He doesn't work? So the hitman and I hang out. Do you think that I'm dumb and don't realize professional killer? You think I don't understand what that means? And God just fills me. I can't even help it, man. I am just like witness dude like a bazooka. You know? You think I can't tell what those looks that he's given me mean? Those little words that he says? Turning his face and doing all those things that he did with his face? Fear. What is in your closet? What is it you're afraid of? Our Father wants us to bring them, our fears, our sins, to Him. He has provided for our need through His blood. Are you in Matthew 12:31? Are you there? We're going to read a number of verses, and then I'm going to give you a little, it's not a formula, but a little like steps of how for your life to be amazingly different. But it's kind of like what I've said to you before. If you could just get this, this is another key, but it's something you need every day, all day. If you get this, I promise you will never be the same. If you don't get this, do you want to stay where you're at? Would you like to have more victory, more peace, more joy, more presence of God?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Matthew 12:31. I want you to notice, Jesus said, this thing will turn straight. Okay. Matthew 12:31. Come on. Quit doing all that. Cut it out. Verse 31, wherefore I say unto you, Jesus says, wherefore I, Jesus, say unto you, all manner, all kinds of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Here's the words, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. I want you to look at Isaiah 1:18. Isaiah 1:18. That's Isaiah, about right there. Chapter 1, verse 18. Okay. Are you there? Come now, God says. Come. See, God's favorite word is come. He's all about relationship. Every time I see you, He's like this.
Come here, Jason. See?
Okay. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. He said, see if you can wrap your brain around this one. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be dark red, they shall be as white as snow. God said, I'll take your sin and make it white, clean, gone. Though they be red like crimson, bright red, warning, they shall be as wool. We had sheep, because somebody said, you're a pastor, you need sheep, you're a shepherd. So they went and bought a sheep. Thank you, Jesus. Not what I wanted, but that's okay. We had these sheep. Well, they kept growing the fur, whatever it's called, wool. And finally, we had to pay a guy to come give him a haircut. Okay? When he gave him a haircut, they look like a drowned rat. They look terrible. You know, okay? But the wool was gone. That's what God says. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. I will take them and remove them. God provides for our need. Okay? I want you to go to Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Are you there? It says, seek ye the Lord, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. He says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Forsake your thoughts. And let that man return unto the Lord, and he, God, will have mercy upon him and not let him get what he deserves, and let him return to our God, for our Father will abundantly pardon. Not just give him enough, but more than enough. Not just forgive the sin, but accept you as one of his. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. Thank you. Yeah, you're going right. Yeah. She got to make the noises. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel 33:11. Sorry, I just have fun. Say unto them, God says, as I live. Did you ever hear that little saying, upon my soul? It's an old saying. Do you remember that when you were younger? Somebody saying, upon my soul? Well, okay, I watch all these old movies and they say, okay, it's okay. It's okay. It's not sweet. Okay, here we go. Say unto them, as I live, sweet and sour, as I live, saith the Lord, or upon my soul, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Two paths, one toward God, one away from God. God said, I have no pleasure in you going in that direction, because the end of that path is death. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs says that twice. Okay? Next verse. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Somebody wrote this in a foreign language, wasn't they? 1 Timothy, here we go. Chapter 1, verse 13. Paul wrote, I was before a blasphemer. In my past, I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. That word injurious, I looked up this morning, it meant to be an insulter or someone who maltreats another person or mistreats another person. Way we would say it today. He says, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He said, I was an unsaved person. I didn't know what I was doing because I was walking in darkness. And then one day, boom, I saw the light. And now I can see clearly. He says, I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. The grace or the working of our God for me was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then he raised his hand and said, of whom I am chief. He said, I'm the biggest sinner. Luke chapter, never mind. You just go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. See, noises, see how the noises work? Makes me go right there with the noise. Huh?
That's the finest.
Okay. I want to read you a verse, Luke 7:47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Okay? 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. If I can get this thing on here again. If we say that we have no sin. No, I talked about how that we're sinners, and sometimes people go home because they're afraid of the dark. They're afraid of their past, and they're afraid of what's in their closet. And maybe they're afraid of truth. And see, we always want to think good of ourselves, don't we? How can you live with yourself if you don't think good of yourself? If you just think that you're a sinner, how can you feel good about yourself? Well, somebody, as I understand it, but I just heard it about one, but I know it applies to many, even in this room. That when I say that we're sinners, we are sinners. Well, somebody went home and was thinking about it and said, man, after listening to this, it's like I keep feeling like I'm a bad person. Well, see, when you think you're a good person, you don't need Jesus. Did you know that the people that are good go to hell? And the people that are bad go to heaven? Did you know that? If you think you're good, then you don't never come to Jesus. But if you realize you're bad and you don't deserve to go to heaven, then you'll turn to Jesus and then you can get forgiven and God lets you in His house. Do you understand? Good people go to hell. Bad people go to heaven. We need to get over something. I'm sorry, this is just in a parenthesis here, okay, to help you. Do you ever talk about somebody and like you're describing somebody to somebody and you say, they're a good person? Have you ever done that? Well, what does Jesus mean when He says, there is none good, no, not one? What does that mean? Well, none good except the one you're telling is good, right? See, people will say to me, you're a good man. Like I'm talking to people on the phone, I'll pray for them and whatever I do for them. And they say, you're a good man. And I say, no. I said, actually, I'm a good example of a rotten sinner that needs Jesus 24 hours a day. I said, if you just got blessed by our conversation, I said, hopefully, I must have got out of the way because you must have seen Jesus. Because Harvey without Jesus makes me nauseous. I know He'd make you nauseous. See, I'm not good. But if you go up on my wall in my office and you see all these notes and stuff from people thanking us and whatever, I have one up there from a lady from England. Forgot her name. I'll think of it in a minute. And she is not saved. And all I did was talk to her about Jesus and how God loves and all of this. And she wrote me a note and said, Harvey, keep up the good work. The world needs to hear what you're saying. She's not even saved. But she told me I'm a good person. I'm not a good person. I'm somebody that has chosen the best person. His name is Jesus. And my goal is I want to be like Him. My goal is I want to hang out with Him. So I'm trying to constantly stay on this path where I'm after Jesus. I'm after God. Okay? When we admit that we are bad, we're not bad because we do bad things. We're bad. We do bad things because we are bad inside. What do you mean? When the devil comes along and tempts us, he doesn't have to try to talk us into something. All he has to do is say, you want this? And we go, yeah. We don't even argue. You know, yep. Hey, let's just make this day all about you. We'll just have everybody serve you, worship you, give you your whole way, and you get to do whatever you want. What do you think? Sound like a deal? Every one of us wants that to be our everyday. When we realize I have a heart that is prone to bad, then if you take that heart to God, you see, when you admit it, you're going to come in agreement with God because He already knows it. It's not like God's like walking along and doesn't know that we're doing bad or got a bad heart. Do you understand? God already knows. And what God says is, I want you so much. Would you come to me? Don't choose that way. Choose me. That way is going to hurt you. That way is not going to make you happy. If I gave you everything you wanted, you'd just become spoiled and discontent and unhappy. Because I see kids all the time that are unhappy, discontent, and miserable. And they make everybody around them miserable because their parents spoil them. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't make us happy to get everything we want. Have you ever helped anybody when you didn't have to? Have you ever, where it really cost you something, like it cost you time? I'm driving down the road and I see somebody and it's like, Harvey, I want you to go help them. And I'm like, so I'm arguing. But God, I'm on my way driving over here and I don't have time. And he goes, Harv, I want you to help them. And it's like, okay, my arguments aren't getting me anywhere, so I have to turn around and go back. You see, because I'm thinking, they're interrupting my life, Lord. You can't want me to go help somebody. It's interrupting my life. I've already got my life all figured out today. What are you doing? So I go back and I help the person. I change their tire. I give them a ride. I go buy them a meal. Whatever it is God tells me to do. And the people are like, thank you so much. Oh, you're such a kind man. Oh, you have, all those things they say. And you're saying to them, no, it's okay. It's, you know, God loves you. God bless you. Because it's hard for us to hear when people say all this good stuff to us too. And when you leave, how do you feel? How do you feel? You feel lifted up. You feel like light. You feel free. You feel like just tingly. Like, what if I offered you $50 for that and said, no, I'll take away that feeling and you don't get the feeling, you just get $50. Would you rather have $50? You see, it's priceless. Because what you did was you just agreed with God, whether you know it or not. You don't have to be aware. It's not like God goes, Nathan, this is God speaking. I want you to help your brother. And Nathan, I'm going to be so pleased with you if you do it. It's like you just do it, but you came in agreement with God, and God blesses you because, see, you just became others-minded. I got off, so I want to go back. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. I'm just going to make this statement to end it, and it goes like this. When we realize that outside of God, we have a sinful heart. We're selfish. We're proud. We're takers. We're going to hurt other people because it's all about me. How dare you? Don't you understand? That's my ball. Give me mine. Okay? It's my truck. It's my car. It's my whatever. Right? When we realize outside of Jesus, we don't have a good heart. There's not good people and bad people. There's all bad people. Yes, sir? We're not in right standing with God. It's not that we're bad, so to speak. It's that we're not in right standing with God because we've gone astray. We've left God. We got our focus off of God and put it on self. I dare you to write that one down. We got our focus off of God and we put our focus on self. When our focus is on self, we're not following God. It's not about God. It's all about me. We just sang a song. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about I don't remember. This is all for you, for your glory and your fame. It's not about me, as if you should do things my way. Do you ever listen to these songs? That's what I thought. So my thought to you is this. What's in your closet? Because I want to bring this to you today, because if you get this, it's going to help you so much. Verse John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We're tricking ourselves. We're lying to ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, what if we put the word for confess? What if we put the word publish? Like publish it on the front page of the newspaper. If we publish, I'm talking about every page, every paper in the new, in the world. Okay, good. Now it's enough? Okay. Well, we have a few left over. Okay, here we go. If we confess our sin, if we admit our sin, if we publish our sin, if we proclaim our sin, I can't do that. People have said to me, I don't know how you can stand up front and confess your sin like you do. I'm like, because I have freedom. Because I've learned the secret. You see, I don't have stuff in my closet. And if I do, I'm not even aware of it anymore. Because I've emptied so much out of it because I faced it. And I go, and it doesn't, and if I have something come up from my past, I immediately bring it before God and say, God, I don't want this. God, do whatever it takes for this to be removed, for this to be forgiven. I want to bring it under your blood and under your authority. Do whatever it takes so that I get deliverance here. And when I, and we're going to go through that in a minute, but anyway. So if we confess our sins, see, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, if we publish or proclaim our sin, He, God, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness has to do with our past. Cleansing has to do with our present into the future. You see, we could say, God, I'm sorry that I hit my sister. I don't know why I hit my sister. Yeah, I mean, when we get, I'm talking about, you know, after we quit arguing and defending and all that stuff, and then we get to where we get real with God and we say, God, I don't know why I hit my sister. I don't know why I yelled at my wife. Let me use that one. That's what I've had to say recently. God, why do I find myself yelling at my wife sometimes? I said, I'm doing fine with her. I love her. She's like the most awesome person to me on the planet. And then I've got something that I'm doing, like I'm on a mission. I've already got it figured out. And then my wife says, Harvey, what about this? And I said, I've got it. And she'll go, well, what about this? And what about that? And did you do this? And why don't you do that? And I mean, I don't know why, but just like that, I'm mad. And I find myself snapping at her. Now, I know none of you do that. I'm telling you myself. Okay? And I find myself snapping at her. Ruff! You know, and it's like, you know, get closer, you know. And then I go, I just did this the other day, and I said, God, I got away from her, and I said, God, why am I snapping at my wife? What is it in me, God? There must be something in my closet I hadn't dealt with. Now, God, I don't want to hide from it. I don't want to pull the covers up over my head and act like it's not there. I don't want to just say, I'm sorry, and go wash her dishes and say, I did a good thing to outweigh the bad thing, and now I feel better. Look, aren't I a good guy? No, that doesn't cut it. Because you've tried that. It doesn't work. It doesn't deal with what's in here, does it? And the next time the same situation arrives, what do? You know, you're biting at her again. Am I right? Or, I mean, you know, is it truth? Is it the truth? So I said, God, I bring myself, here's a key. Here's a little clue. God, and this I got out of James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Okay? Remember, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you, cleanse your hands, your sinners, purify your heart, you double-minded. So here's what I did. God, I bring myself under the blood of Jesus. I'm the one who caused your death, Jesus. I'm the one who caused your pain with this sin of biting at my wife. I don't even know why I'm doing it, but there must be pride, there must be self-defense, there must be control. Why am I doing it, God? I want to bring myself under the blood of Jesus, and I submit to your authority. I bring myself under you. Now, snake breath, old smutty face, old devil, I don't want nothing to do with you. You see, I only want Jesus living in me. Jesus living in me. I want to have light and love and peace and joy. You understand? And acceptance and presence. So I only want Jesus living in me. Okay? So, devil, I don't want you. I don't care what you're offering. I don't want it. I only want you, Jesus, living in me. Would you please come and deal with me? Would you please come and reveal the root and the seed of whatever is hiding in my closet that comes up sometimes when my wife goes to try to help me and I bite at her? Why? I don't even know what it is, Jesus. But I know you and I trust you. Remember? Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Okay? So Jesus, I know you, and you and I could face it together. And I don't even know what it is, but you do. You're not in heaven going, I wonder what it is. You know? He knows. So Jesus, could we do it together?
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, yeah! He said, I've just been waiting. He says, now, Harv, put the ball in my court and don't think about it. Because if you, he said, Harvey, if you start thinking about it, you're going to beat yourself up. Have you ever beat yourself up for what you do? I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Yeah.
Have you ever beat yourself up for what you do? You do wrong and then you feel real bad and you want to beat yourself up and you try to go do something good to make yourself feel bad, better or whatever. You get alone and you feel like, man, I must be a bad mom. I must be a bad dad. I must be a bad husband. You ever thought that? Does that? I'm just asking you. When she does that, Tana, does that sound like Jesus? Nathan, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Tana. Oh, okay. What'd you say? I couldn't hear your head. Oh, okay, I got your head. And Nathan, when she beats herself up because she doesn't live up to her expectations, does that sound like the Jesus you know? It's not Jesus, is it? Spencer isn't Jesus? Guess what? We're going to get some freedom here. If we just never beat ourselves up again, can you imagine what life would be like if you just never beat yourself up again? Dude. Okay. I'm sorry, I get so excited. Okay, 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John. First one or something like that. Petrova, the one after Petrova. Ivan. Okay, first Ivan. Next page. First Ivan. Is this Ivan?
No, it's
not. No? Here's Ivan. Yeah. So first Ivan. Okay. Chapter 1, verse 8. 8 through 10, right here. Okay? All right. Would you quit? Okay, well, I already know it. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Correct? All right. Now, here we go. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, how's it go? Is that what it says?
Yeah, that's what.
Well, go ahead. Tell me what it says. I can't hardly wait. Tell me what it says. Read it out loud. Go ahead. No, I want you to read. I want you to read it just like that out loud. Go ahead.
Ako kažemo da nemamo grijeha, pravoga lažemo i njegovi riječi njemu u nama.
Yep, that's exactly how I memorized it. Yep. Okay. Here we go. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, I'm sorry. Do you want to share? Oh. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Okay? Go to chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. So you're right there. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You ready? My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. He's saying, I'm writing this book, I'm writing this letter, this epistle of 1 John to you, that you don't sin. He said, we need to have a goal. And our goal is, we want to walk on the path of light, the path of God. Okay? He said, but if any man sin, we have an advocate. We have a comforter. We have an intercessor with the Father. What's his name? Da-da-da-da! Jesus Christ the righteous! Da-da-da-da! Cape flowing. Can you see it? Big J. Jesus! Okay? And he is the propitiation. He is the satisfactory payment for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, look in Proverbs 28, verse 13. Like in the middle of your Bible, like close your Bible, go about to the middle, and you should be in whatever that is. Okay. Proverbs. Let's see. I bet that's Proverbs.
Yeah, that's Proverbs.
Yeah. Proverbs 28. Nah, that can't be Proverbs. Because Proverbs is... What? What? Okay, Psalms. It's right after Psalms. This one, chapter 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins, he that covers, hides his sin, what's in your closet? He that covers his sin shall not prosper, shall not go forward, shall not increase. But whoso, anyone that can... Yeah, he's getting it out. No, nothing in his closet. Get it all out. But whoso confess? Now here's the key. You got to confess and forsake. He that confesses and forsakes his sin shall have mercy. Shall not get what he deserves. See, God, we're going to read a verse in a little bit where it says God will by no means clear the guilty. You see, just because somebody says I'm sorry. Have you ever heard kids say, I'm sorry to another kid? Did they mean it? A lot of the time? Most of the time? When you tell them, you go tell your brother I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I feel the compassion. I'm so glad you repented. Thank you. That just mended my heart. It's confessing, admitting our sin, and then saying, I don't want it. Now, somebody in here, I think it was Joy the other day, Sunday said, but what happens when I keep doing the same thing? I don't want to do it. That's because there is a whole root system that's living in us and producing fruit in our lives. That's why we do these things. We have to ask Jesus to come. He's the gardener. Remember when He rose from the dead? And He appeared to Mary. What did He appear as? Gardener. I didn't make it up. Okay. I read the book. Okay. He's a gardener. Okay. And he can get that root system out of us. We got to come and bring it to God. Don't beat yourself up. I just keep doing the same thing. Do you want to do the same thing? No. Okay, that means you're on the path to God. Get this, so simple. I'm on the path to God. Now, Jesus is the one who's going to come and cleanse me. He's going to come and, as the gardener, remove the weeds. But first, we have to admit there's weeds there and bring them to Jesus. If we don't bring them to Jesus, we're still trying to take care of it. And because we don't know how to take care of it, and because we're afraid that's what's in our closet, we don't deal with it. I don't want to look at it because it scares me. I don't know how to deal with it, so I just give up. I won't look at it again. Instead, I'll just go home and beat myself up. Maybe I'll go home and drink so I can forget it. Or I'll go do video games so I can forget it. Because I don't want to think about it. If that's where you want to live, you can do that. I'm just giving you something that may would help. Okay? So Proverbs 28:13. He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes his sins shall find mercy. Okay? What's the next verse? The next phrase, if you want to write down, because these are in categories, the next phrase is, for he will abundantly pardon. Look at Isaiah 55:7-8. Yep. Isaiah 55:7-8. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, for the Lord will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Go back to Isaiah 43:25. Isaiah 43:25. I, God says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. Now look what he says. And I will not remember thy sins. When you bring your sins to God and you do it the right way, you bring it to God, you confess and you forsake. God, I confess. This is what's really in my life. I'm bringing myself under the blood of Jesus. I realize I'm the one who caused you pain, Jesus. Would you please forgive me? And he said, I was just waiting for you. He says, I already provided for your need. I'm already forgiven you. It's done. He says, now I'm going to cleanse you. Because there was a root system of where you let that sin inside of you, that thought inside of you, that action that you did, it has a hold inside of you. You feel guilty if you ever think about it. We have stuff we feel bad about from our past, right? It's because we haven't brought another blood of Jesus yet. Or it's because we don't understand the truth that would set us free. So when you bring it to Jesus, He not only forgives it, but then if you look at this verse, He says, I, even I, am He that blots out, makes clean, removes completely your transgressions, where you went beyond my limits. And He says, why do I do it? For mine own sake. So you and I, because don't you understand? Oh, how He loves me. It sounded something like that. I'm sorry. It sounded probably better when they sing it. But, oh, how He loves me. See, God loves you all the time. Not just when you're doing right. You know, if you turn from God and you go to be selfish and go away from God, do you know that He doesn't quit loving you? He still loves you. He can't bless what you're doing. He can't protect you. He can't provide for you because He would be enabling you to keep doing the wrong thing. And He's a good daddy. But He still loves you. He doesn't quit loving you because you do wrong. He says, and I will not remember your sins. See, when He forgives them, and you say, God, this is what's really in me. Would you please forgive me? And He says, yes. And then He says, now, will you forsake them? In other words, make a choice. I don't want them in my life anymore. I don't want to bark at my wife. I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to, whatever the sin is, what's in your closet. That's my choice. I don't want it. Now, can you just quit sinning? Can you just straighten yourself up? Who can get the victory, do you think? You think it's like hard for him? Remember, choose and then cooperate. I'm turning it over to you, Jesus. Could you handle this? He said, dude, I've just been waiting. He said, give it to me. Somebody came after me this week. Somebody was mad at me this week. Somebody said some things to me this week that should have hurt me. But God was like, I'm working in this person's life. And you're just the one they're venting on because they don't understand. He said, this is all my hand. And then God said, I'm going to open their eyes. And within hours, their eyes were open. And they came back, would you forgive me? And I'm like, sure, I'll forgive you. But it was like I had already forgiven because it was already done. And it was like I never quit loving them. I never broke anything. Nothing happened. But the people that knew about it, they probably wondered what was going to be. But you see, that's how God is. God does what's best for us, and God will keep working in our lives to bring us to full truth. Maybe I got started late. Maybe I'm talking too long. Maybe I'm talking too deep. Or maybe just some people are tired. So what I'm going to do is turn this into a section two or a part two next week, okay? But I just want you to end on that verse, Isaiah 43:25. God says, I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. And He says, when you bring me your sin and bring another blood of Jesus and say, God, I don't want this in my life anymore, He says, then I won't remember that sin anymore. And if you try to bring it up to Him again, we used to have a song, and I think the title of it was, what sins are you talking about? I can't remember them anymore. At least it was a line in the song. And I would ask God, God, please forgive me. And He said, didn't you ask me to forgive you yesterday? I said, yeah. He said, well, how many times do you think you have to ask before I do it? But see, nobody taught me this. I had to learn it the hard way. I'm trying to help you with something that is so simple, but it's so fundamental, it's so key to your victorious life. Every one of us has sin. When you sin, is that what, when once you realized you sin, even if you premeditated it, you know what I mean? Even if you knew it was wrong, but you went ahead and did it. But then after you did it, and God smites you in the heart, and you feel bad, now do you want to have sinned? I'm sorry? I mean, I'm asking you. I'm just every one of you. Now do you want to have sinned? Jesus, please forgive me. I'm sorry. And He's like, I know. He said a couple thousand years ago when I was hanging on the cross, I looked through time and I said, I knew you were going to do that. Because I knew what was in your heart. And He said, and that's why I died. For you. Just for this one time. Forget every other time. Just for now. I took this. I've already taken care of it. And I did it because I love you. I did it because you're worth it. You are worth the blood of Jesus to the Father. You ought to write that down. I am worth the blood of Jesus to the Father. I am worth. The Father says that I am worth the blood of Jesus to Him. The Father says, I am worth the blood of Jesus to Him. Can you see how it just makes you appreciate Jesus more, makes you love Him more, makes you just want Him more? When you get this one time in one area of your life, you get deliverance. you have had a taste. And it's kind of like Lay's potato chips. You just can't eat just one. You know? It's like, don't even put the bag in front of me, dude. I have lost it. I'm keeping it off. I stepped on the scales again this morning and it went, hey, there's only one of you. And, you know, I'm glad. I mean, it's like I've lost weight before and then I found it again, you know, and I didn't even try, you know. But this time, I'm not finding it again. And I want to keep it off. I like feeling less, you know. I mean, it's really cool. And that's what it's like with Jesus. Jesus, we love you. We commit this into your hands. We ask you to open this up, make it real to us. Help us to receive it. Help us to live it. Help us to understand it. Help us to internalize it. And help us to just bring what's in our closet to you. Help us to realize you're the light and we need to allow you to invite you, that we open the door and say, Jesus, would you go take care of these with me? And He won't overwhelm us. You won't overwhelm us, Jesus. You'll just deal with them one at a time, and you'll deal with them thoroughly until it's all gone, all the root system, all the effects, all the pull, all the guilt is gone. And there's no more pain there. It has no more strength in our life. And then you say, if you want to do another one, we can, or you can take a break. And we just say, thank you, Jesus, that you're so kind and so patient and so loving, and that your thoughts toward us are more than the sand of the sea. You're incredible. Lord, bless each family here. Protect those that are on the road. Protect those as we travel home. May today just be a day, a God-filled day, a God-filled week in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.